Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is your instant match reaction for Everton 1, Crystal Palace 0, the Blues into the fourth round of the FA Cup. Our march towards Wembley continues apace after one of the worst games of football I think I've ever seen in my life. But joining me, Dave Downey and Matt Flusk. Matt, that was a slog, wasn't it? It was a real slog, but we're here, we're through. I didn't really feel like we gave Crystal Palace revenge, like we were saying after that 0-0, where we were all very indignant and angry about what happened to Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but we beat them, they're out, we're through, we've got a winnable home game in the FA Cup, fourth round. I'm happy.
Yeah, like it's that exact kind of game where you go, it's a cup game, all that matters is getting through, and it was the Sistine Chapel ceiling of shit football. It was a masterpiece of shit football from start to finish, and I can't believe that somehow Andre Gomez has managed to conjure something out of that. I mean, it kind of sums it up, doesn't it? That game of football deserved that goal, in the sense of everyone's going to read the match report and go, I didn't know he still played for Everton. Like, anyone who's not a toffee, and probably half the toffees as well. So that's exactly what it deserved, and just, I'm so cold still. I'm about to drink a cold beer for some reason because I'm an idiot. I should have asked for a hot toddy. But God, yeah, and we didn't get our revenge. And in a way, we barely even got like a satisfying win, because when Roy Hodgson decided to make his rake of substitutions,
oh, we'll talk about that.
Like, yeah. he threw in the biggest towel I've ever seen.
Yeah. Do you know what, Dave? I was thinking in the first half there, like, do you know Mike Bassett, where the England have that game where it's 0-0, and you don't actually see any of the game, but like they do like little cutaways of like strained footballers' faces and the ball getting kicked out of play, and it just cuts like 0-0 in the dressing room at the end. I was like, this is that game like being played out in front of our eyes, because the first 40 minutes of the first half was like, oh my word, like it was comically bad from both sides. But then we get a moment, and it's very cliche, isn't it? But you'd either get a mistake or a moment in games like that can swing at your favour or swing it against you. And Andre Gomez, whatever you think about him, probably not going to be an Everton player for much longer beyond maybe this window, who knows? But that lad has got quality in his boots, and he showed it there.
Yeah, he did. He was the real touch of class on the whole night, wasn't he? Flush is falling apart here with you saying that. But it is one of those cliches, isn't it? It doesn't matter how you do, you just get into the next round of a cup. do you know what you just reminded me of there, though, with the Bassett, though? The time when
he's Andre Gomez or Tonka?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's just when he's trying to get onto the bus,
yeah,
and they're all kicking off on him, saying, put him in midfield, and he just goes, fuck off. You could just imagine Dyson, Roy Hodgson doing that today, couldn't you? It was a dreadful take. And do you know, it does actually remind me of some of games like that in cup, early cup games when we were under Moyes. They'd be exactly like that. You know, we'd have games like that in the past where it was absolute stinkers. I remember the one, but for the sake of Howard scoring that time against Bolton. That was absolutely dreadful. I think the time when Phil Neville scored one in one of those stages early doors.
When we got to the final in 2009 against Macclesfield, where Osman scored an absolute belter, but we were awful and we won 1-0.
Yeah, it's just, and you know, we're watching one now, aren't we? Watching the end of this extra time with Blackpool and Forest here. And it just looks, you see the look of the pitch, you see everyone wearing gloves.
Empty.
Yeah, you're just looking at it thinking, no one can be arsed playing football at 8 o'clock till about 10 on whatever night through the week, you know what I mean? It's just that time of year where...
-5.
No, exactly. And it's a horrible game to watch, but, you know, if you'd have taken a 1-0 win in the league, especially, mate, then you'd be going cock-a-hoop right now, wouldn't you? So you've got to keep that in mind. Playing a game like that really is... The big point that we'd be suggested to talk about would be Calvert-Lewin.
Still, was actually better tonight.
I don't think much happened for him, but it wasn't the type of game that Woods really. I didn't think there was any chances or many chances either end of the pitch. He looked fit. He looked like he was willing to graft here. Not stuff that's necessarily associated with him. So it was that type of game where he's the one you want something to fall to. If he scored the goal rather than a really quality free kick from Gomez, that's the type of thing that kicks him on. You're waiting for the next game he's got and you're really looking forward to seeing him kicking on. But yeah, other than that, it's an absolute stinker of a game. You can't wait to get home.
Pop quiz, when was the last time he scored a free kick at all?
There are two arguments that I've seen so far, and apparently it was said on the Everton commentary on the website, so I haven't seen that. But I think Laura mentioned it in our group. There's two. Is Luca Dean for both of them. One was away against Lincoln.
That's the most recent.
Right, okay. And then the one that I remember distinctly was when we beat Watford. I think it was 3-2 we beat Watford.
There's one after that in the league, which is Burnley.
Was it really?
Burnley, but on Boxing Day, we won 5-1.
5-1, yeah. Remember that now, because it was at the far end of the pitch, because it was at that game.
That was Luca Dean as
Christ
well, yeah.
Sad that we're talking about.
Five years. The one against Lincoln was 2018. So it would have been August 2018. And the one in the league would have been, God, even 2017, yeah.
That one with Luca Dean scoring against Watford, though, was that just after we got Richarlison?
Yeah, so he scored two in quick succession. He scored against Watford last minute to equalise 2-2. Yeah. And he scored, I think, to put us 1-0, maybe 2-0 up against Burnley away.
Penalty in it or something. Oh, no, that would have been Luca Dean, who's on our pens then as well. But it's the fact we're talking about that, what, five minutes into the post-match, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you know, things like this in cup games, and you said it yourself earlier this week, you don't really give a shit what's going on in the league as long as you stay up in it. And then just focus on going in the FA Cup. You do it in this sort of way. I'm sure, well, certainly I remember it just about 95 when I think Dave Watson got a 1-0 scrappy winner against Newcastle. And I think we beat Norwich as well in that build-up. These things just start to build for you gradually. And look, we all know we'll be talking about that. We've got to do loads of stuff on the Blue Room, talking about what's going on with 777 and 777 points or whatever it is we're going to be getting against us. But it's this that happens on the sly, and I think that's when your season starts to grow. I mean, a draw, we've got Luton at home next. You know, you start getting things like that. You start getting home games. You start getting the players to actually think, do you know what? This is the sort of season that I'm looking for here. Everything else, appeals and all that, like you rightly said, put that on the back burner and just crack on with what we've got to come.
Yeah, and it's a perfect next round draw. It's not the banana skin of a lower league club. It's I was going to say bottom feeder, but that's unkind. But a bottom of the table side in the Premier League, you wonder, will they fancy it? You wonder if we can land a psychological blow if we beat them.
Yeah.
It's absolutely perfect, and I can't think of much more to say, really, other than it's good to be in the hat, although the hat's already been drawn.
They won 2-1 away at Bolton last night, and I've seen the interview of Rob Edwards.
Jim Rick Edwards, somebody else.
Rick Edwards with five lives.
Oh, okay. I was going
to
say.
Say that as well. Have you spoken to him a few times? The manager didn't look overly thrilled that they won that. Even though, like, it's an upset if Bolton come and beat you, because quite clearly they're at the end of this season is staying in the top 17. Sadly, that's ours. But I think our mentality, it shows you how things are different there, because I think Sean Dyche will be delighted that we've gone through to the next round. Whereas you've got the manager that sat, who were one or two points behind us in the league, who were thinking, no, don't want any of this now, I want to focus on what I've got coming up. So to go as far as saying that I'm thrilled, going a bit too far to say thrilled, but I'm more intrigued by that, to be honest with you, Matt, considering what you said, mostly, to be honest with you, because I thought a lot about that, saying that, you know, you've got to get to a stage, like you did similar with the Fulham semi in the League Cup. You do get to a stage where, you know, we can't, as fans, and again, we've mentioned this a lot, if you did that fantastic chat that I had with Pete on the Subs Weekly yesterday, you get to a stage as a fan where you're like, what are we actually in this for? what are we in this for, us to win games and to win trophies if you possibly can? We haven't for a very long time. We've got to put that ahead of everything else, really, because we can't affect, as fans, what's going on in that league and what's going to come out of all sorts of different commissions and other people that we don't even know, gang of bellheads with funny hats on. Do you know what I mean? That's what we.
Funny hats on.
That's what we.
Do you all wear mad hats at the Premier League?
I'm asking like the Stonecutters or something.
I imagine like the Wizard's Court in Harry Potter, where they've all got those weird hats on. Yeah,
the hat, the fucking hat that talks at the start of it. No, but that's what I mean. It's like
10 points,
Gryffindor. 10 points to Gryffindor. 10 points to someone else, not Evan. But yeah, that's what I mean by. I think when we struggled to talk about it, and it was quite a difficult chat the three of us had on Monday, me, you, and Les about this was. You know, what are we in it for? You were nearly pulling all your hair out when we were talking. I had what's left of mine trying to pull that out as well. The stuff we were talking about with it was how difficult it is to talk about Everton when it's not related to football. And we found ourselves doing a lot more of that than actually what goes on the pitch. It's sort of ironic that we're sitting here tonight, we'd not talk about football because it was such a shit game.
Yeah. But it's like this is... The FA Cup is like the only sort of pure bit of football we've got left this season, because like we could get points back, we might not get points back. We could get points back, then stay up, then get points taken off. It's like we were saying on Monday, like how do you enjoy those Premier League wins when you don't really know what they mean or if they mean anything, like, you know, going forward? And
it's like you said, it's any impurity. Impurity as, and this is it. It's all we have here, because the league, we're sitting here pissing and moaning about league points and whatnot, and like Les said there quite correctly, if you go back and listen to that on Monday, what Les was talking about was how, and don't want to go deep into it, but how's this going to work when these points get taken or added? How does it work when it's not happened before the season started? They're now saying it needs to happen before the season's finished. All of that nonsense, it's difficult to put at the back of your mind, but if there's something that is pure from football that we like to see, it's going through in the FA Cup, most traditional trophy in the world, isn't it?
I did. I was listening on Monday on my way here to do the Quiz League match, and I nearly fell straight into the road when I heard you say the words, "If we win the cup, they can't take that off us." You actually said those words.
Do you think they can take it off us?
Oh, I'm sure they'll try. Like, come on. Like, are you not reading the giant room by Premier now?
They will get us anyway. They
could
can.
Swap winning the FA Cup for the points that we've lost.
Just give the FA Cup back. Yeah, like money in the bank.
Yeah. Like deal or no deal or something like that, yeah.
But like now it doesn't feel... Like, you know what you're saying, Dave? Like, thrilled. It's hard to feel thrilled after watching 90 minutes of that and being that cold and like just getting through it. But like... Say like get Luton to Saturday 3 o'clock, isn't it? That is confirmed. Like, I've not had one of them for Goodison for ages, you know. And beating them and going through into like the last 16 or whatever it be at that point, like that will feel good. Like, you know, even if we saw the exact same game tonight, just by virtue of being Saturday 3 o'clock, not all knackered, not all been at work, you know, that will feel better. And then I'd be like, right, who can we get? And like, I hate myself for saying this because I hate when people do this. But like, if you look at that draw, Arsenal are already out, West Ham are already out, one of City or Spurs are going to go out, one of Chelsea or Villa are going to go out, one of Newcastle or Fulham are going to go out in the next round. You know, there are a lot of Championship, First Championship, Championship League One, lower league teams that are still in it. And like, if you get, you know, it's hard to look too far ahead, obviously, but I'm just all in on this cup now, because I just don't want to be thinking constantly about the Premier League and doing sums about, oh, we get 5 points back and then lose 10, where are we going to be then? Like, you know, that sort of stuff's doing me head in. But just quickly, a bit on the game. I know you laughed and said about Gomez, Matt, but I think he's shown that in bursts here and there, like, he can definitely offer us something. Like, I think for the first...
What a professional.
I think for the first, like, 40... Well, the first half, really. For the first half today, I thought he was comfortably the best player on the pitch.
Yeah.
Positive on the ball. He actually wins the free kick, doesn't he, as well, by, like, a really good run where he cuts back inside and taking the positive option. And maybe because he's playing further forward now, he's sort of got to do that a bit more. But, like, whether he starts games, whether he comes off the bench for half an hour, like... This is a lad who can definitely bring something to this team between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, 100%. And he's truly creative. Yeah. And I mentioned this a couple of months ago on this pod. Like, the true meaning of creativity is not running into the side of the box, floating up a little cross and watching the centre forward try and head it in. That's not creativity. Creativity is doing something unexpected. Even if it doesn't lead to a chance at goal, just something that makes the opposition go, oh, okay, right, okay, we've got to reset ourselves here. Wasn't expecting them to go that way or something. And he was doing it all that first half. Yeah. He was just, like, little turns, little flicks, and it did give us a different dimension from even when we've been in our best this season. We've been at our best when Decore's been charging through everyone like a tank. But then to have that bit of guile in that position, and oh my God, to see them on the pitch together, do like one doing the other.
I suppose that's the only thing. It's like, it feels like they've both got a kind of play in the same position. Like, they're both extremely different players, but it's like, how do you get both into the team? Because I kind of feel like you wouldn't trust Gomez to play deeper because he's not got the legs anymore. And I think if you played Decore deeper, you're kind of losing a lot from his attacking play as well. So you can't play two number 10s, really, can you? I don't know if it's a way of getting them both into the side.
It is a bit Ronald Koeman, isn't it? Trying to play two number 10s. But, I mean, the way I see it, and I might be being a bit uncharitable here, we've got room for another midfielder in that midfield, because Amadou Onana's offering very little right now. He's watching games go past him. He did have a couple of moments today where you were like, yeah, that's what you can do. Like, can you do that more often, please? But the amount of times I've just seen, like, pairs of players or trios of players just skip past him, pass a little triangle. And I'm not talking about Manchester City. I'm talking about Crystal Palace. And, yeah, like, God love them.
The midfielder general was...
God love them. They're like the southern version of us at times, in many ways, except for the, you know, the actual history. But in terms of vibes, they're absolute dog shit. Like, they've got some very talented players, but the way they actually play football, it's just, it's awful to watch, and I'm sure their fans at the moment would agree. So if a team like that is running rings around Amadou Onana today for 75% of the game, you're thinking, it's not even a question of ability, is it? It's like, do you think you're too good to be on that pitch?
I think it was the entire midfield.
But I just want to see, even if it means he's not going to be at this club very long, that phrase, like, I just want him to just go out there and start playing as arrogantly as he gives off, if you know what I mean. Start not running games, but just start showing proper contempt for games, in the sense of, I'm going to piss this, rather than I'm going to piss about.
It's weird. He's a weird player now, because, like, I have people like by me today being like, he's had a great game, and others being like, he's been terrible. Like, it's just one of them. But, like, I think for me, Dave, like, where I see Gomez sort of having an impact for us is, like, if it's 0-0 and we're chasing the winner, or we're behind in the game, and then you could maybe bring him on and drop Decore back, or you could bring him on and play him a bit deeper. Like, I feel like that's where he's ultimately going to fit. I don't think he's going to start many games when Decore's fit, but, like, 20, 30 minutes off the bench here and there, when the pace has slowed a little bit, he can get his foot on the ball, the quality is still there, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I do have a lot of sympathy with him, to be honest with you, Matt. I'm not too sure the majority of fans would, but I think Flusky mentioned it there. When he's on the pitch, I find myself really frustrated that he doesn't have anybody alongside him to go in what he plays like. You know, you can't forget this lad. A little bit cliche. Look where he come from. Look what he did. Back to your great saying that I'll probably get a tattoo of. It's the reason he joins Everton when he comes. Look who he's played alongside. Look how he learned his craft everywhere he was. A completely different team. He used to have that in the way in which he plays when he comes on. Do I see him playing a load of 1-2s with who we've got in the midfield to go forward at whatever time he wants to? Absolutely not. He's not at a side where he fits. And I think, to his credit, he's done that since he's been back.
Yeah.
He's looked a little bit different. He looks like he's done what he's been needed to do. That's why we've seen him a lot more. Starting today, I think it's a really good tactic from Sean Dyche. Keeping him fit, trying to get into that player, like you said. I don't think he's just in the starting 11. Somebody who can change a game for you, though, there's no question about that. You get him on, he's able to do that. I think the point he's both made there about Decore is just as equal as what I'd say about putting Beto on next to Dominic Calvert-Lewin. So yeah, don't get me wrong, I think there were positives in a couple of players to be confident after the day. Glad they threw Dobbin on as well. Very nearly scored as well, with a lovely flick at the front post. In their goal, they nearly scored as well. It's one of the best saves I've seen all season, by the way. Wow, I thought, oh no, this is extra time. you're just going to freeze. You'll sat there freezing in that and thinking, we're not doing any post-match here at this part, half 11 at night or something like that. But yeah, it was interesting to see you go back to Palace fans. Proper hate Roy Hodgson for taking Eze, was it? Took him off.
They were 2 points once to the finish on Virginia. Matt sort of thought he was just going to be, no, whenever Pickford was fit, he was going to play this season. But the two games he's played against Palace, sort of out of nowhere a bit, really. He's been excellent, hasn't he, in both of them?
Yeah. Just a star is born.
Yeah.
Not like us to get carried away, is it?
Just about 4 weeks too late, mate, to sing that before Christmas.
No, but yeah, he's like, I don't even know how old he is, but he's not old, and goalkeepers obviously age slower than other players. But you know what I mean.
You're having better than Robles, are you saying that? You having him better than Robles was?
On those two shows,
I wouldn't say quite. Like, I think like when he's gone alone, he's had a few shockers, hasn't he, here and there. But whenever he's actually played for us, he's done relatively well.
Never seen him when he's played on though, because I'm not a nerd.
But the question I've got though, because he's done that, and managers often did this, we know that in the history of our managers, does he play against Luton at home in the next round?
Yeah. I think I probably would, yeah.
You'd be happy with that, would you? You get to that stage of competition where you can go into the last 16.
I think if he got to the quarterfinals, I start to think, maybe you're getting your best goalkeeper in the team. But
fuck him off and let him cry.
I wasn't even expecting to see him in the first game. I think maybe Dyche has decided to go with the cup keeper thing.
Would you also go back to, and how many times did we flip it under Moyes not putting out a first 11 against the opponent that we had? Surely this goes back to that a little bit. Do you not see what I'm saying there with that? You'd take, well, not my favourite man anyway, but take Howard out and put Robles in or whatever, and you think, we're not taking these competitions serious. It's very different now because we've got obviously the league to stay up in. You go back to those days and we were playing out a side that was nowhere near the first 11 and getting knocked out of the League Cup in the first round. Did you dare do that? If you're dicing to get, I mean, what date is the next round on?
It's in 10 days, isn't it?
So 10 days from now? So that's between Fulham and Spurs?
No, it's before both of them.
Before both? Yeah. So that's the next game we have?
Yeah.
It's really interesting that, isn't it? I mean, do you think that's doing us a favour? I think that tends to be a little bit more positive.
It's a nice break, isn't it? And then, I think the league games after that are really solid, aren't they? Obviously, Fulham away is tricky, and then we've got Spurs and then City away, which, you know, hard enough in itself. But you know, he's not done anything wrong, has he, so far? I think there will come a point, like, if we got to a game at Wembley, I mean, you're playing your best goalkeeper, aren't you, then? I think that's where it's,
I mean, if he continues to play, like, especially today, he's earned that place at Wembley on merit, because he wasn't just...
We are getting carried away.
Based on today's performance, if he does that in every single cup game, of course he's there to play Wembley, because he wasn't just stopping shots on his line. He's coming out, charging down players like Pickford can. He gets the whole crowd up and everything. Like, his command of the box was very good. He didn't put a single toe wrong for me the whole match. And was it two matches, no goals conceded? There you go.
The problem you have with that is when you get to a stage of that, and it even goes far as saying this, what are we going into now, the last 32, is it, next one?
Yeah.
That's against the last 16. The problem comes when that goes out of your season. Like you've said there, don't care about everything else, go for it, which I'm broadly alongside you when you say that. When you get to a point where you get into those really sort of the big sides, you know, the big times, the big games you want, if you're going to start thinking about the trophy, that's when you sort of, I don't know,
I can't wait for the arguments about that if we get to the semi-finals. Who's playing, Pickford or Virginia? Bring it on. We're doing a show on Wembley Way talking about that. I'll be absolutely made up.
But it's so high risk. It's like, you know, you're walking a rope with that, because you think, hang on, we've got England's number one there. He's certainly not going to be happy either. And you've got a kid there who's sort of playing a trade for an early stage in his career, but he's the one who's got us there. That's a really, really difficult decision to make.
And
I have to say, it's got to be Jordan Pickford at whatever point you get to beyond the next one.
Imagine we're in the final. We've had Golden Virginia in every single round running up to it. And then in the final, he puts Pickford in and he drops a howl and we lose. That's his entire career narrative forever.
That's his
distant moment. Oh, I wouldn't want to put that on Pickford.
I
think it's undue pressure on him.
One of the worst games we've ever seen. We're talking about who's going to play in goal when we win the cup at Wembley.
In about 2 or 3 months' time, we're going to get this conversation back out when we're in that position. in the semis or the final.
We'll do a deep dive into it. We'll get stats and everything. But last thing I wanted to say, Roy Hodgson, bless him, really helped us out there, didn't he? Because just when I thought Eze was getting into the game, starting to look like a threat for them, Roy brought him off, obviously keen to get back to bed, wasn't he, with his warm blanket, Long Johns and hot water bottle, bless him. That was one of them.
Lewington alongside him as well.
Lewington had short on him. Oh my god! But I mean, I was absolutely delighted when he made that sub, because I just thought Eze was just starting to look like a threat, and he hooked him, and their fans were absolutely fuming over it.
Yeah, it was. Like I said at the top of the show, it was throwing in the biggest towel he could find, and he's nothing if not a pragmatist. He's our lovely Roy, and we'll miss him when he's no longer managing in the league.
He'd regret it if they won that. You know, I'm almost certain he would have been gutted if Palace won.
They had a few chances, didn't they, to make it 1-1 at the end? It was like, oh god, please no, not this week.
I think none of us won that. If that happened, it'd be like, bring the FA and say both of us are out and bring someone through who's in the last round.
Why do you need extra time in these replays? Like, if you can't, if you got two games, they level it both. Like, sure, just go straight to penalties after the 90 minutes.
I think I'm right in saying it's the last year. It's this, isn't it?
I don't think
it goes become like the League Cup, it goes straight to pens.
There's a lot of talk about replays, isn't there, and stuff, but
they change the rules every 5 minutes, who knows.
I've been them personally, but
that's where we got lucky that we don't have a Premier League game this weekend, because it's the second of this weird winter break.
In the same breath, like they had a big break since the replay, didn't they, and we played against the second best team in the league on Sunday, and like, you know, for us to come through that game and look, you know, win that game and look the better of two awful sides, admittedly. Like, you know, I think they deserve credit for that as well.
Yeah, you mean ourselves, or
yeah,
them?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, mate, absolutely. I mean, if you think you're looking for more positives, which we generally are, and you particularly are, because we like to have that sort of debate, don't we? I think you're absolutely right looking at that. And if you're looking at pure results there, that's the position we're in now, Matt. It's not like we don't really care how we play, it is that result, that cliche. But how many times have we banged on about, oh, he's played crap, but we've gone and got a result? For instance, tonight, Harrison, who I thought was woeful, but he didn't do well at all. A couple of other players didn't think that Neil got into the game much at all. But it was a real struggle, really, a proper crap game, like we said. Doesn't matter, those can get off with that. I don't really care how they've played, as long as you don't get this result. That's the same in any division, with any league within, not division, any league within, and any Premier League game we've got.
Looking forward to a 10-day break from Everton.
Not really, to be honest. I mean, if we keep doing this, it's a big massive slice of positivity at the end of the show. Our next match is going to be, 27th of January?
Yeah.
So we're going to get to the 27th of January. We have not yet conceded the goal in 2024.
This is the problem. We've got, how long, what did you say, 10 days, is it?
Yeah.
Some of the stats he's been coming out with in our group lately, we've got 10 days to talk about that sort of thing, because we don't have a game.
Matt's been doing the whole PSR calculations on his Twitter feed, hasn't he? Yeah.
But people seem to like that, what they listen to with us, so bring it on. There's a lot more of that, no doubt. We're kicking off over appeals and all that stuff.
We're taking aim at the Premier League in the next 10 days. Plenty.
We'll be down there if anyone wants to meet up with us.
We can take a long run up at them, because we've got a lot of time to fill, but listen, just made up to get through tonight. Cheers to Matt and to Dave. An absolute slog, that football match, but we're in. Bring on the Hatters in the fourth round. I'll speak to you soon here on the Blue Room. Sports Social Podcast Network.